For our scripture reading, we turn to Luke chapter 17. We consider this Lord's Day 32, which in God's providence is the next Lord's Day that you're up to, I understand. Also fits with applicatory, showing our thankfulness. Showing our gratitude to God for our salvation. And we read this passage in that connection too, considering that. Luke 17, we'll read the first 21 verses. Then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible but that offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat, and will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself and serve me, till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink. Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded of him? I trow not. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger? And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, Lo here, or Lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you." So far we read from the Holy Scriptures and the passage that we read, and all the rest of Scripture are the basis for the teaching of our Heidelberg Catechism in Lord's Day 32. There we read, "Since then we are delivered from our misery merely of grace through Christ, without any merit of ours, why must we still do good works?" And the answer that's given is, because Christ, having redeemed and delivered us by his blood, also renews us by his Holy Spirit, after his own image, that so we may testify by the whole of our conduct our gratitude to God for his blessings, and that he may be praised by us. Also, that everyone may be assured in himself of his faith by the fruits thereof, and that by our godly conversation others may be great gain to Christ. Cannot they then be saved who, continuing in their wicked and ungrateful lives, are not converted to God? By no means. For the Holy Scripture declares that no unchaste person, idolater, adulterer, thief, covetous man, drunkard, slanderer, robber, or any such like, shall inherit the kingdom of God. Dearly beloved, we come now to the third part of the Heidelberg Catechism, which is on our gratitude, how we express our gratitude to God for our salvation. And it is that those who are saved by God's grace, those who confess what's found in answer in question 86, that we're delivered from our misery merely of grace. Merely of grace. Through Christ. Without any merit of ours. That we confess that. And we who know that, who confess that, who know that we belong to Christ, that we are delivered, that we're righteous in Christ, we want to show our thankfulness to God. We desire to show by the whole of our conduct our gratitude to God for his blessings. We desire to do that by the grace of God. We do. We say we're resolved to do what God calls us to do. Think of like when somebody makes confession of faith. They say, I'm resolved by the grace of God to adhere to this doctrine. Reject all heresies repugnant thereto, and to lead a new godly life. I'm resolved by God's grace to do that. And that's what we desire to do, and yet we have an ongoing battle. We say that, and we get to the point in our life where we make a confession of faith, and when that question, along with the other two, are asked to us, we answer yes to that. And yet, we know and confess that our whole life we struggle with our own sinful nature. We battle our threefold enemy. Our whole life is one of constantly coming to God and asking for forgiveness, looking to Him to strengthen us. We say, as we do in the Lord's Prayer, when we get to the Lord's Prayer, we say that our enemies cease not to assault us, and we're so weak we wouldn't stand a moment. And we ask God to strengthen us. When we read a passage like the one we just read, those that were healed and just one comes back and gives thanks. Well, we can also look at ourselves and think of times when we should have expressed thanks and did not. And yet we are, by the grace of God, thankful. We do desire to glorify our God. We desire to testify by the whole of our conduct our gratitude for His blessings. So we desire to do what God calls us to do, and yet we also struggle, we fight, we're engaged in warfare. We look to God for grace. And we're thankful that the Spirit works in us both to will and to do of God's good pleasure. And this Lord's Day speaks of that. It speaks of the fact that not only is it the case that Christ redeemed and delivered us by His blood, but He also renews us by His Holy Spirit after His own image. So, that so we may testify by the whole of our conduct, our gratitude, the Spirit's work within us and within our children. The Spirit who renews us, the Spirit who strengthens us. We give thanks to our God for the sacrifice of Christ. We give thanks to God for the work of the Holy Spirit within us and our children. We look at this Lord's Day in this applicatory service. We look at this Lord's Day from the viewpoint of testifying our gratitude. We consider, first of all, the gratitude. And in that context, we will consider that there's the contrast is set forth between those who are thankful and those who are ungrateful. That's in the Lord's Day. The passage we read has only 1 out of 10 giving thanks. In the Lord's Day, we have this contrast between those who desire to show their gratitude to God and those who continue in their ungrateful lives. So we look at that contrast first under the subheading, the gratitude. Secondly, we talk about the conduct of those that desire to show their thankfulness to God. And thirdly, the witness that it's brought up here that we're to bear witness to others, that by our godly conversation, others may be gained to Christ. The Lord's Day says. So we consider the importance of us bearing witness to others. Testifying our gratitude, the conduct, and the witness. When we think of our gratitude for our deliverance, it's important for us to remember what we deserved. We have been delivered from the wrath to come. Now we know that. You know, when we examine ourselves, we're supposed to consider our sins and the curse that we deserve. And as we hear that, one thing that comes to mind is that it is important that I continue to think about the curse I deserve. That I do. That I look at my own sins and think of the curse I deserve. And think of how multitudes continue on in their ungrateful lives and are going to be and are punished and will be punished everlastingly. Multitudes. And it's only by the grace of God that you're saved, that I'm saved. That we not only know that that's true and can show that from the Scriptures, the truth of particular grace and unconditional election and limited atonement and irresistible grace and so on, but that also we meditate upon that and apply it to myself personally. That I have nothing that I can boast about. It's only by the grace of God that we've been saved, that our children are saved. He delivers us from sin. He comforts us that we're righteous in Christ, heirs of everlasting life. He comforts us with that. He says, we're righteous. We're forgiven. And He sanctifies us. His Spirit works within us and renews us after His image. And when we do the good works, we're indebted to God for our good works and not He to us. That's what our Belgic Confession points out. That's also in line with what we read in Luke 17. That we do good works, even our best works are defiled with sin. But God works in us to will and to do of His good pleasure. He does. But we're indebted to God, and not He to us. He has before ordained, Ephesians 2 verse 10 says that He had before ordained that we would walk in them. He gave us to the Son. We considered that this morning. And He renews us and makes us willing. He renews our will. Man by nature is in bondage to sin. And as the canons rightly say in the third and fourth head, Article 12, God renews our will. And as we say in Lord's Day 1, He makes us willing. One may say, well, if you're willing, if your will is renewed, well then, how come you still sin? Well, we still have that old man until we die. And we look forward to the deliverance when we will no longer sin. And we believers look forward to that day. We'll sin no more. But in this life, that struggle will continue. The Spirit works in us and renews us after His own image. This is one of the places, and it's important. Well, it's important because Scripture teaches this, but also we bring out that there are many that say, we're familiar with this, that we and some of our children, especially, you know, those that go to various colleges, that may come across this teaching that all human beings bear the image of God. And our creeds say, and Scripture says, that's not true. That the image of God, one who bears the image of God, is righteous and holy and has a true knowledge of God. And Colossians 3, 9 and 10, and Ephesians 4, 24, are passages that speak of us in the new man. When we're talking about the new man, then it talks about us bearing the image of God. Well, we see that here, it's those who are renewed by the Spirit. They're the ones that bear the image of God. Christ hath redeemed and delivered us by his blood, and he renews us by his Holy Spirit after his own image. That's particular. And that goes against, clearly goes against the idea that all human beings bear the image of God. The Spirit has renewed us. Christ has delivered us by his blood. The Spirit has renewed us, and we who know that that is true desire to express our gratitude. Just like if these nine are, or these ten rather, are cleansed, and it says one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. God works in us faith by the proclamation of the gospel. We come consciously to understand and to confess that we have been delivered by Christ's blood. Christ has delivered us by his blood, and the Spirit has renewed us. And we want to thank him. We want to express our gratitude for what he has done. We read that there were those that were asking, have mercy on us, in verse 13. The ten of them were lifting up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. But then when there was the cleansing, only one of them, when he saw he was healed, turned back. And with a loud voice, glorified God, falling down at his on his face at his feet, bringing out that idea that he was thankful. He with a loud voice glorifies God. He falls down. He's giving thanks. Thankful for the cleansing. And we apply that to the spiritual cleansing that we received. I mean, it's one thing to be delivered from a disease of the body. We have been cleansed from our sins, washed along with God's people from different nations, and together we want to express our gratitude for our salvation, for the blessings we have in Christ. Now there are those who, though they may hear the gospel in the sense that they may be present where the gospel is proclaimed, or whether they're not present where the gospel is proclaimed, either way, they continue on in their ungrateful lives. And the question that's asked here is, what about them? What about the ones that aren't grateful? What about those who continue in their wicked and ungrateful lives and are not converted to God? They don't give God thanks. They don't glorify Him from the heart, desiring to praise Him. They continue on in their sin. What about them? Can they then be saved? And the answer that's given to that is, by no means. For the Holy Scriptures declare that no unchaste person, idolater, adulterer, thief, covetous man, drunkard, slanderer, robber, or any such like shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now you apply that and you think, you know, you have somebody, say, in the congregation who continues walking impenitently in the sin of fornication. He doesn't turn from it. Year after year. He may be present where the gospel is being preached. He may be present in the sense that he's sitting there. But he continues on in it. Perhaps he's viewing pornography. Year after year, day after day, he's continuing on in it impenitently. The question is, those that continue on impenitently and are not converted to God, can they be saved? The answer is no. Or another man that's a thief, and in his business dealings, he knows that he's stealing. He may have found a way to hide it. But he knows that that's the case. He knows he's stealing. And he continues on in his ungrateful life. He doesn't turn from that sin. He just continues on year after year. Or you've got somebody that continues on as a drunkard. Now some will make light of that. It's important for, we bring that out to young people, but it's important for us to talk about it as those who are older. You know, the young people, we often warn about drunkenness. Not only when it's illegal to have alcohol, and from the viewpoint of the civil government laws, but also the seriousness of the sin of drunkenness. But it's not only when one is younger, but it can be when one is older. And maybe again the person is hiding it. Doing what they can to try to hide it. But they continue on in drunkenness and they don't turn from it. They don't turn from their sin. That's what this passage speaks about. And they may think, but I'm there at church, I'm there where the gospel is preached, but they're continuing on impenitently year after year. And when we read what is being said here, we know there are passages that speak on that. You think of, for example, 1 Corinthians 6, Verse 9, it's interesting too in this passage, and you have this reference, don't be deceived, this phrase, don't be deceived. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9 says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, those who walk impenitently in homosexual kind of sins is being promoted today, and they don't turn from it, nor thieves, nor covetous men, nor drunkards, and so on, shall inherit the kingdom of God. Notice we're all sinners. The distinction that is made is this is talking about those who do not turn from their sin and walk impenitently. They're not converted to God. They just continue on. And maybe they think that, well, you know, at least I'm present and at least I'm nearby where the gospel is preached. Maybe I got my papers there, but I'm going to continue on in my sin. You know, Jesus said, then shall ye begin to say, we've eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. Right in our streets, you know, right nearby. We've eaten and drunk in thy presence. Thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. And now this Lord's Day looks at it from the viewpoint of those who are ungrateful. So we're looking at it from the viewpoint of testifying our gratitude and the contrast between those who are thankful and those who continue on in sin in their wicked and ungrateful lives and are not converted to God. Now God's people can be a child of God that falls into a grievous sin, gets drunk, or has been dishonest in a business dealing, or said that which isn't true, etc. For the child of God comes unto his God and with sorrow asks for forgiveness and asks for deliverance. God works in us. Repentance itself is a gift. Faith is a gift. Repentance is a gift. God works in us, renews us to repentance. We who have new life in Christ, we know that doesn't mean that there's no way we could sin. If an unbeliever was talking to us and heard some of the things we say about being renewed after the image of God, and if somebody said, well, you mean you always do what you're supposed to do? You mean you don't sin? Say, oh, no, I'm not saying that. But by the grace of God, I'm sorry. I keep turning to God. I ask for forgiveness. And I ask for the strength I need in the battle. Because I know the battle's going to continue on. I desire to show my thankfulness to God by the whole of my conduct. By our conduct. We want to show our thankfulness. Now Christ has obtained for us God's favor. That's brought out in Lord's Day 5. He has reconciled us to God. Thankful, we want to do what is pleasing to Him. Scriptures do use that language, and our creeds use that language too. We've been reconciled to God. We're righteous in Christ. We want to do what is pleasing to Him. We say in Lord's Day 4 that God is terribly displeased with our original and actual sins. And we hear that He's terribly displeased with our original and our actual sins, our sinful nature, sinful thoughts, words, actions. We want to do what's pleasing to God, which He tells us. We say, we are allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak not as pleasing men, but God. That's 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 4. chapter 4, verse 1 of 1 Thessalonians. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, exhort you by the Lord Jesus Christ, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. That's the language of Scripture there. And if we look for references in our confessions to that idea of pleasing God, you can see a reference to endeavoring to please God found in the form for excommunication. It's interesting that one might not have thought to look there, but you know, today when you can do searches for an idea, where in our confessions does it speak of that? And you can find places, there's a reference right there, form for excommunication, that talks about us endeavoring to please God. There's a reference also in the canons, the first head, Article 16. And there's a number of references in Scripture. We could look at various places where the Scriptures speak of that. That's what we want to do. We love Him. We're thankful. We want to express our thankfulness. We know we have been saved. We know that we can't lose our salvation. Our motivation is not to do something in order to be saved, nor to keep from losing our salvation. That's not our desire. We know that our salvation is all of grace, and we know that we can't lose it. And that's brought out here. Since we're delivered from our misery merely of grace through Christ, without any merit of ours, then why must we still do good works? We hear that question and think, well, you say, why must we still do good works? Well, it's true we must. It's also true that we desire to, and that the Spirit works in us that we desire to. Spirit work renews us, that we may testify by the whole of our conduct our gratitude. And then you apply that, and we can apply that in our home. How do you apply that? Showing thankfulness to God in your whole life. Well, we see that in our marriages. That we love one another. In our marriages, you know, if there's times where there's a disagreement in our marriage. And then maybe we think, you know, our spouse is wrong. And we're upset because of whatever our spouse may have said or done. And then if we think, now, how do I show my thankfulness to God? I also think, what did we vow? What has God told us not to do? God says to the man, don't be bitter against her. And if the man may think, because of what she's done, I'm rightfully bitter against her. God says, don't be bitter against her. And we think, but she did, and said, don't be bitter against her. You want to show your thankfulness to God. You remember what you vowed. It is good for us to remember what we vow. And that we're to forgive one another. We're to look at, we tend to think, well, what my spouse said or did. Well, what about what I said or did? In our marriages, we're to forgive. We're to ask for forgiveness when we sin against one another. We're to show forth in our marriages our gratitude to God. We desire that as the children look on, that they can see Mom and Dad. They, they really love one another. You can see how much they love one another. That's our desire, that they see that. And then in our relationships in our family. When you think of showing our gratitude to God in our whole life, we can start great in our family, with the children esteeming one another highly and expressing their love for one another. And you can have it that you have two that constantly go at it. They make fun of one another. For example. And the one is always kind of expecting the other one's going to be putting him or her down for whatever it may be. And then the other one's going to be doing the same. The other one's looking for opportunities to be able to mock the other one. And you can have it right at the dinner table that one's saying something about something, and you can kind of tell that this other one's kind of, there's some mocking going on the other side of the table. And then this one's getting upset about it. And you think, now right in our own family here, this is going on. And we're supposed to be showing our gratitude to God for his blessings. We're thankful. You think of this man who comes with a loud voice glorifying God, falling on his face wanting to thank God. We desire to praise him. We desire to thank him. We desire to show by the whole of our conduct our gratitude. And then it's important that we teach our children. Now you both need to express, you need to ask for forgiveness, and you need to show your esteem of one another. That's good to bring that out too. Not only that you say, I'm sorry for saying this, sorry for making fun of you, but also think now, it's important that we show our esteem and our love for one another. We're all sinners. And we're to encourage one another. We're to esteem others better than ourselves. And then as we're called to do this in the church, and we're all called to do this in our families, we're called to do this outside in the congregation too. Be on guard as we, and we're constantly to think about what we say. We say things that we shouldn't say. And we're to use our tongues to the glory of God. We're to assist one another. That's another thing that's taught in the home. You can have somebody that in their own, we're so self-centered. We just go through each day and think of what do I want to do, and there can be other things I could do to assist this person. And I'm talking now just so you can apply this in the home. You know, you think of the importance of teaching a child to get up and do something. When there's some work to be not done, not to just try to avoid it. You see somebody else could use some assistance and you just kind of try to look the other way. I think, well, let we assist one another, young and old. That's important that we do that. That we show concern for one another. And then that applies more broadly in the congregation. That we show us concern for one another. Not only those that are related, have a blood tie with us, but others in the congregation, whatever age they may be. We desire to express our gratitude to God. And we might express our thankfulness to him. And we're to be diligent in the work to which he has called us to do. The Catechism goes on and says that also that everyone may be assured in himself of his faith by the fruits thereof. Now, when we read that, we bring out, that faith is assurance. Faith, one who has faith has certain knowledge and assured confidence. Canons, the first head, speaks about how we believers observe in ourselves. What's there called the fruits of election. We do see that in ourselves. The elect in due time, though in various degrees and in different measures, attain the assurance of this their eternal and unchangeable election, not by inquisitively prying into the secret and deep things of God, but by observing in themselves with a spiritual joy and holy pleasure the infallible fruits of election pointed out in the Word of God. The Word of God does point out the fruits of election. True faith in Christ, filial fear, a godly sorrow for sin. We do observe that in ourselves. We have a real sorrow for sin. A hungering and thirsting after righteousness. We recognize that we have a sorrow for sin. For example, the Spirit works in us. He's quickened us. He's raised us from the dead. It's by the grace of God that we have faith in God's promises. The Spirit testifies to us that we are the child of God, and we have a serious and a holy desire to preserve a good conscience. That's brought out in the canons, the fifth head. The subject of assurance is brought up in the first head and in the fifth of the canons. And then lastly, it speaks about by our godly conversation, others may be gained to Christ. And now we turn and look at it from the viewpoint of the witness, and then from the viewpoint again of testifying our gratitude. That by our godly conversation, others may be gained to Christ. So that we look not only at our family now, we look not only at the others in the congregation, say, but also it's our desire that we may bear witness to others too. People we don't know. And we remember, you know, what our Lord said to us, that others may see your good works, let your light shine. Others may see your good works and glorify God. And as we go through each day, we desire that we may manifest to others. We look for opportunities. We ought to look for opportunities to speak about what by the grace of God we know is the truth, to bear witness to the truth of the gospel. We sometimes may be not wanting, you know, we may have a, you know, when we think about the fact that we may be mocked, we may be ridiculed, they may oppose us, or they may say something to us that we don't know how to answer. Well, that may be. When you bear witness to outside, you don't know who you may be talking to. You could be talking to somebody, say, that they, you find out they're an Eastern Orthodox, and you think, I don't know if I've ever talked to somebody that's an Eastern Orthodox, and you're listening to their arguments, and saying, I've never heard anybody argue this way, and trying to figure out how to answer what they say. You never know. I mean, around here, many of the people tend to be, if they go to church, they tend to be of certain churches. But when you go into other places, even more so, you can find people of all sorts of different beliefs. And of course, many people that don't go to any church at all, but have all sorts of strange ideas. And then you wonder, now, what do you say when somebody says this or when they argue that way? Well, we are to look to God to guide us in that. And there may be times where somebody points out something and we don't really know how to answer. It may be that we're talking to somebody that does study the Scriptures but has a lot of wrong ideas about the Scriptures, and they show us a passage and we think, you know, I have never really looked at that and know really how to explain that. But then we can go and look into it and try and talk to the person again if there's an opportunity. But it's important that we speak when there is an opportunity for us to be able to speak. And it's, of course, our desire that not only by what we say, but also that others can see in our conduct and the things that we do. That in the workplace, for example, that we're not like those that are quick to punch in if they have a job, say, where they have to punch in, and they're quick to go and to punch in, but then once they're punched in, then they can be slow to get going, and they can waste lots of time. Or there can be those that are, as soon as they can tell that the boss is nearby, then they're going to be diligently doing what they're supposed to be doing, but then as soon as they can see, okay, it looks like he's gone for a while, then they're not. And then they see you, that you're diligently doing what you're called to do, even when nobody's watching. Why? We desire to show our thankfulness to God by the whole of our conduct. And as we labor, we're serving the Lord. We're serving our Lord. We're living not unto ourselves, but to Him who died for us and who arose again. And we want to be ready to give an answer to anybody that asks us about the hope that is within us. None of us can say we do that as we ought. By our godly conversation, when we read that, each one of us can feel convicted. You know, at times we haven't. Sometimes others have seen us doing something that we shouldn't be doing. Or we weren't doing what we should have been doing. Sometimes you can even have somebody that's just blatantly an unbeliever. Doesn't say he believes in Christ. He just walks in sin, and he may even be one the one that points out to us, you're doing what you're doing you shouldn't be doing. Our desire is, though, that we may show our thankfulness to God in our whole life. And as we go to work each day, whether that work is outside in the workplace, or whether that work is in the home, as the mother's in the home laboring, caring for the children, or whether it's the work that we're engaging in our schools, and you think of the importance of the conduct in the school, and that the children in the schools are encouraging one another, and that we're showing by our conduct, you children in our schools, showing in your conduct your gratitude to God for His blessings. For it's not only, the blessings are not only given to the adults, but to you children. You children have been blessed. And we desire, young and old, to show our gratitude for our salvation. We have been nourished. Our souls have been nourished with the body and blood of Christ. He has fed us. He assures us of his love for us. He tells us he will always be with us. We have hope. May we together glorify him. May we testify our gratitude in that which we do. May we use our tongues to his glory. And may we encourage one another in these last days and together express our thankfulness to God for what he has done for us and for all of his people. Amen. Let us pray. Our Lord, our God, and our Father, we are very thankful, O Lord, for thy grace. Thankful for the blessings thou dost bestow upon us and our children. Lord, we're sorry for our sins and ask for forgiveness. Lord, grant us grace to honor thee in the things we do, in all that we say. May our very thoughts be ordered to thy glory. And may thy name be magnified by us, by our children, by all thy people. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.